The amount of matter in the universe is vastly in excess of the number of sentient beings around to claim ownership of it. Yet, despite this, there are many who are dispossessed. They do not have any tangible assets beyond the clothes they stand up in and the meager goods they carry about their persons. They somehow manage to be utterly bereft of possessions in an infinite universe of bounty and opportunity. In actuality, the universe and everything in it belongs to the mighty Hardzark, who was the very first being to make a claim to the entirety of creation. If you disagree with this assertion, then you are entitled to travel billions of light years to the furthest fringes of the galaxy to Meldir 7, where the mighty Hardzark resides at the bottom of a vast Mercury ocean, beneath an atmosphere of 5,000 mile an hour winds and pulverizing pressure, so that you can argue your case in person. Or you could just accept that you don't own anything and get on with life, as most people do. Arthur Dent and Fort Prefect are dispossessed. They were recently the owners of a small spaceship, but that tenure has now ended due to their shared lack of piloting skills. Now, only Fort's American Express card stands between them and utter destitution.
Excuse me for saying, Ford, but most sensible people try not to crash their spaceship while landing.
Hey, landing a spaceship isn't like riding a bicycle, you know. You can't ring a bell when you're about to hit a control tower and expect it to get out of the way. Why do you think I hitchhike everywhere?
Excuse me! Excuse me!
What is it?
Don't talk to them, Arthur.
Excuse me, sir! We were wondering if you'd like to join our protest. Sign our petition? It's for a good cause!
Don't stop! Arthur!
Be fair, Ford. What cause are you raising a petition for?
We're here on permanent protest against the People's Palace.
Oh, really? That's where we're headed.
We've collected almost 50 million signatures.
Oh, that's impressive. But surely if you've got that many signatures, you could, well, do whatever it is you're going to do with them.
That has always been the plan, friend. For a long time, we have only had two signatures, mine and my colleagues, but our collection has expanded rapidly since we started accepting signatures from bacteria and other microscopic organisms.
Charming. What exactly are you protesting about?
It's wrong! Evil!
Perverted!
It's not a fair distribution of labour!
See my play about it!
Read my book!
Listen to my recorded debates!
Watch my feature-length ethercast!
Buy my limited edition cup holder!
I've invented a special smell that clearly details our arguments through the olfactory power of scents and fragrances!
Did you say a cup holder?
You both have got a lot of time on your hands, haven't you?
Well, I guess that's true.
We do have a lot of free time, it has to be said.
I'm sorry, but we don't have yet the sufficient moral outrage to join your protest. But, maybe you should let us head up to the People's Palace. I'm sure we will be utterly devastated by the injustice and horror of it all. Then we'll be able to engage in a more informed discourse. What do you say?
Right on! Right on!
Come on, Arthur.
What are those people so upset about?
Upset? No, they weren't upset. They were trying to make a living. Protest work can be big money, you know. Right, here we are. We'll need to talk to the door.
That's a very odd-looking building. How do we get in?
You don't!
I beg your pardon? Who said that?
I did. I don't like the look of you. You can clear off.
Hang on, Vod. You mean talking to the actual front door, don't you?
You've got no right to tell us to clear off, you know. So kindly open up and let us in.
Absolutely not.
Hey, you moronic slab of chitin. You'd better open up or I'll give you a knocking you won't soon forget.
I'd like to see you try.
Don't think of starting on us bricks either. We have a union, you know. Yeah.
Look, we're here to see Dartek Bentham-Baleen.
Dartek? What? Tall guy? Looks like a transparent sphere with a pair of legs sticking out. Manipulates objects around him through gravitic fields. Glows bright orange when he's angry.
Sounds like the chap.
This is the Dartek who has three brains, one located on each of the three moons that orbit this planet.
Yes, that's him.
Dartek who likes a drink. Dartek who effectively owns us all after buying the People's Palace.
As I said, That's him. Thank you.
Sorry, never heard of him.
You showed him, Dory.
I don't know what happened there. I just seemed to slam shut in your face.
You all think that's very funny, don't you? I hope you all get dry rot.
What now?
Arson, combustion, and inferno will burn this place to the ground.
And that would help us find this Dante chap.
No, but it would teach his stupid door to have some respect.
Ha! Oh! Ah! You got me right in the privates.
Oh yeah? Well, open up then, or you'll get the same.
Oh! Oh! All right, if you insist, mate. Oh, classic! You fell for it again!
Such an idiot! Thinks we let plebs like him in here!
If the door is this damaged, it does. I wonder what the latrines are like.
Come on, Arthur. We'll have to find someone else to help us. Psst. I think it's time there was some property redevelopment around here.
Psst. Hey, listen. Someone's psst-ing at us.
It's just another brick in the wall.
Psst. Up here?
No, Ford. I think the window wants to talk to us.
Well, what have you got to say?
Look, I'm sorry about the way the door's behaving. There was a party last night and he's still feeling a bit boisterous. The bricks always go to Mon, and between you and me, I think he's got a bit big for his hinges.
Can you let us in?
That shouldn't be a problem, but you will need to climb up the wall, I'm afraid.
Thanks. It's not too high. Give us a leg up, Arthur. Then I can pull you in.
Ugh, the wall feels like flesh. Is the whole building alive?
Of course it is.
These bricks are scowling at us.
You would scowl too if someone was using your face as a foothold.
Here we go. Give me your hand and I'll pull you through.
I'm not sure if I want to. It feels as though I'm being swallowed by a living being.
Hello? Hello? Anyone at home?
Way.
Who said that?
Sounded like it came from the floor.
No, shh, I'm not here. Just ignore me. I didn't say anything. Shh.
Is this who we've come to talk to?
Take your shoes off. Oh, my fibres. What are you doing?
Great. Now the carpet is shouting at me.
No, don't go that way. Oh, Zarkia, who cares? I need a damn shampoo anyway.
Who's shouting up here? Oh, hello.
Hi, sorry. My friend and I were just worrying the carpets.
Ford Prefect?
Aha! Ha! It's good to see you again, Dartek. You're looking great. Really spherical. Totally globe-shaped.
Why, thank you.
Though I must say, I didn't expect to have to climb through a window to get to see you.
Did the door not let you in? Typical. I'm going to give that self-important portal a severe dressing down. Anyway, seeing as you made it in, would you care for a drink?
Way! Drinky time!
Please forgive the carpets. There was a bit of a party last night and someone spilled a whole bottle of Fotnik vodka on the floor, so they're still rather drunk.
So we gathered.
This is my friend, Arthur Dent. He's an Earthman, but his home planet blew up.
Really?
Don't introduce me like that, Ford.
It's the most interesting fact about you.
Yes, but it's terribly depressing, isn't it?
Oh, by the holy underlay, you're so depressing. I'm going to cry.
Earth. I'm sure you've heard of Earth. No, I can't remember. I've got my brain spread across three moons, you see. So when their orbits get out of alignment, I tend to forget stuff. It'll come back to me later, I'm sure. Anyway, shall we adjourn downstairs?
I think we'd better.
Could we adjourn somewhere else entirely? This building is making me queasy.
Oh, why's that?
I don't feel comfortable standing on a living carpet surrounded by living walls under a living ceiling. You have to admit, it's a bit weird.
Surely it's more distasteful to live in a house entirely constructed out of dead things.
Dead things tend not to offer their opinions on your conversations.
That's true. Honestly, I do feel I was rather suckered into buying this place. There's a cosy little bar down the hill, actually. Quite delightful. It's constructed from seashells that have been crushed and compressed over billions of years, held together with a mixture of bone and ash. The seats are made from trees that have been ripped from the ground and diced into sections, with desiccated animal skins drawn over them for comfort. Is that more the sort of thing you're into?
Sounds lively. Lead on.
Perhaps at this point, a word is required on the subject of the People's Palace. Partly because it is a concept worth exploring, but mostly because Arthur has become desensitized to the madness that is happening all around him and is unlikely to ask for an explanation anytime soon. As has been established, space is infinite. There may be some doubt about this, but given the infinite realms of the universe, we can assume that the level of doubt is infinitely small. In any case, despite the apparent size of the universe, living space is at a premium. This has resulted in many long and costly wars, and many more equally long and costly lawsuits. The ancients of Magrathea built whole planets in an attempt to satisfy demand. But as the cost of building planets is so obscene that an entire erotic industry sprung up around the mathematical concepts involved. The Magrathean enterprise ended in abject failure. This paved the way for a bold new experiment conducted by the Gyub-Gyub Housing Association of Ursula Minor. They investigated the problem, and what they found was this. With the ongoing galactic recession, the people existed in a state of constant unemployment and misery. They were boxed into vast three-dimensional grids with beings living beside each other, above each other, and below each other. In many of the galaxy's densest conurbations, the only thing separating individuals were thin layers of plasterboard. Then the question occurred, why should a thin layer of plasterboard take a job that could be reasonably given out to a genetically modified being? And so the People's Palace was devised. This would be a test model for the future of all living. Instead of having to go through the tedium of trying to find somewhere to live, the people themselves could actually be that somewhere to live. Their bodies would form the infrastructure of their dwellings. Their neighbours would be bricks, doors, and windows. And a golden age of prosperity would be enjoyed by all. Like all grand ideas, the success or failure of the project depended on how it was presented to the public. The Gyub-Gyub Housing Association decided that the best ways was to demonstrate the wonder of organic living by building the most outlandish palatial residence that could be conceived of. Each component occupier of the palace was grown in a separate tank before being shipped into place and assembled overnight. The result was a quivering slab of flesh, some 200 metres wide and 10 stories tall, that appeared out of nowhere. And, to the surprise of the bright young executives who had masterminded this audacious project, provoked absolute horror and disgust in the nearby residents. The project failed. The Gyub-Gyub Housing Association collapsed, and the People's Palace was left abandoned for many years before Dartek Benter-Baleen snapped it up in a clearance sale. Horror and disgust are familiar friends to Arthur Dent, and the events that are about to unfold will only serve to firm up his acquaintance with them.
So, Ford, are you still hanging around with that Zaphod Beetlebrox?
Haven't seen him in ages.
What about the other mysterious Zani Whoop?
Don't think I've ever met him in person.
And old Bobby Blenderlegs.
Bobby Blenderlegs. Oh, Bobby Blenderlegs. I could tell you a story or two about him. Most unfortunate design for a droid in the whole cluster, that Bobby Blenderlegs.
Yes, I know. But have you seen him?
No.
Oh.
Ah, but there is another droid that I've seen far too much of. He sent me this message. His name is Marvin, and he...
He's got a message from the paranoid android?
Yeah, right after I woke up in hospital.
Why didn't you tell me?
Do you think it would have made you happier if I had told you?
Ah. I suppose it wouldn't have done. No.
Look, Arthur, why don't you pop over to the bar there and get us all a drink?
Oh, sure. What would everyone like? No, hang on. How do I even know what's safe to drink?
That's easy. Hold your finger out.
Ow!
And I'll get a sample from myself. There. And Ford?
Ouch!
There we are. Looks like we'll all survive drinking Magnavox tumblers. Swell. Hey, at least your stomach's a taste.
Fine. And what will I do for money?
You've already paid. little blood sample we all gave is worth more to this bar than 1,000 drinks. Amazing what information you can extract from blood.
I'm not sure if I'm okay with that.
Dying.
Ford? Are you
so
all right?
Terrible. Dying of thirst.
Right, I get the message.
Do watch out for that guy standing at the bar. He thinks the bird on his shoulder is God.
I'll have 3 Magnavox tumblers, please.
Blood type recognised. Human. Arthur Dent. Drinks will be dispensed shortly.
I wonder what Marvin wants.
you want to be wary of your friends there.
Really? Those two? They're decent enough. Well, Ford is, for the most part. Well, he's better than some, usually. Why? Well, what do you know about them?
Me? Very little, really. But you see, this lady perched on my shoulder here, she knows a great deal.
Ah, this must be the bird that's supposed to be a god.
Be wary, human. Beware. Be wary!
What a delightful little thing.
Do not anger God, unless you wish to feel her wrath.
Wrath? Listen, I know you shouldn't tempt divine intervention, but she is a rather small bird. I can't imagine her wrath should be too terrible.
Oh, now you've done it.
Ah! Hey, get out of my hair!
Unbeliever, the Lord will smite thee!
All right. Ah! I believe! Oh, I'm sorry. I seem to have...
You've hurt her! Her little wing!
It's not my fault. She was attacking my hair. Look, I'm dreadfully sorry.
Little wing! Don't worry, my lord and master. I'll make it better.
Is there anything?
I don't think there is. You've done enough damage, Mr. Human.
Sorry. Ford, you won't believe this, but... Now where has he gone?
Mind if I sit here?
You again? I'm waiting for my friends to come back.
What, those guys who walked out about 5 minutes ago? I warned you to be wary.
Where's he going now?
Well, God could have told us if you hadn't gone and hurt her.
How frustrating. I don't suppose you want this drink.
What a kind and generous offer. I think God might appreciate a thimbleful as well after what you did to her. Oh, budge up, let me sit down. By the way, Arthur Dent, my name is Hogo Jostovic. Remember that. Mark it well in your memory. Hogo Jostovic. It is important. You might have to help me get home later.
It has already been well documented in these chronicles that the chain of cause and effect is complex and unpredictable. The smallest action can have the gravest of consequences, and we can seldom determine what these consequences might be. For example, Arthur Dent agreed to purchase drinks for his companion and possible friend, Ford Prefect. He did this out of a mistaken belief in the fairness of the universe. Though by now, he should have realised that the universe is a willfully unfair place, and that the tiny pockets of order created by purchasing drinks on a round-based system could only lead to further chaos and disorder occurring elsewhere. For while Arthur has been inflicting injuries upon the small avian creature known as God, Ford has decided to investigate an outlandish claim made by his old associate, Dartek Benter-Baleen. The fact that Arthur was not present when Ford made this decision will have far-reaching consequences, the first of which being that Arthur will be consuming at least 8 further Magnavox tumblers in the company of Hogo Jostovic.
So Slotty Breakfast said, he said, this is my ship, the Bistromath, and do you know what it looked like?
Nope, I don't know.
An upturned bistro, powered by maths. And it looked like an upturned bistro.
That's great.
So he said, we've got to save the universe from the cricket-playing robots.
Oh, we should have been there at the bistro, God and me. We'd have sorted it out. We'd have gone up to those rickety robots and said, "Hey, you, none of your rickets here." And then we'd have gone pow and wham, wouldn't we?
Actually, it was pow and wham that we wanted to avoid. Hey, is your bird all right? She's walking backwards.
My bird? Oh, you mean the Lord Almighty? Oh. Oh, you mean the Lord Almighty? Now look, Mr. Human, between you and me, and don't tell anyone this, but God is a little drunk right now.
Hooray!
What do you mean, hooray?
If God's drunk, then suddenly everything makes more sense. Cheers!
If you say so, Mr. Human, cheers!
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Greetings, my friend. Greetings.
Here, who are you?
My name is Jandreth Usage. Think of me as a fellow reveller.
I'll piss off.
Do either of you two know a Ford Prefect?
A Ford Prefect? Afraid not, but I have got something for you here. Yep, it's a fresh and foaming pint of piss off!
And what about you, my friend?
I used to drive a Ford Anglia. Always thought that there was something suspicious about the name. Or was it a Ford Guildford? I think he was from Anglia. But you wouldn't call it a Ford Guildford, would you? That's ridiculous. They could call it a Ford Gill. Now that would be better. Then I got that blue Volvo Estate. That was an excellent car. Excellent. Safety, features. Very good for visiting bistros in.
Hey, I don't even know what a bistro is, Mr. Human.
Mr. Human, eh? Enough.
There are four of him now? Good God!
Sorry, Lord. Mr. Human didn't mean anything, did you?
You both need to think different. Go beyond the everyday.
Oh, right. Well, seeing as there's four of you now, I could get you a whole round of piss-offs.
Have you got the guts to be successful?
I don't think there's much success going on in my guts right now.
You need the courage to follow your dreams. But first, follow me. And me. And me. And me.
What do you think? Should we go with him? Them? Him?
I shall ask the Lord for guidance. She says we should go. Mind you, she is pissed.
Good man, what a marvellous ride.
I told you I was an expert hitchhiker. Hey, this looks familiar.
Yeah, I thought it would.
Perhaps I should have left a note for Arthur.
Oh, who cares? We're here to have a good time. And then there's my little surprise.
Go on then, surprise me.
Right, here we go. Welcome, Ford. Welcome to New York City.
What?
New York City. The bright light, the big apples, the mean streets, the median streets, and the other less average streets.
You mean New York on Earth, don't you?
Not on Earth anymore. Not anymore. I brought the city in the Inferno sail and transported it here, so I could have it on my doorstep.
Well,
You're flabbergasted, aren't you? The so cool he used to spit ice cubes into his drinks, Ford Prefect, finally knocked sideways.
No, it's nice. It's just that I hadn't heard anything about an Inferno sale.
Oh yes, it was all a last-minute thing, so there weren't many buyers, and certainly no one was interested in the cities. There's a couple of Arcturans who bought a few trees and a sentient comet that bought a waterfall, but the cities were all available at rock-bottom prices. They even threw in a field from a place called Innsbruck. Don't know what I'm going to do with it, but hey, I'm always up for a freebie.
Also, I don't want to disappoint you, but This isn't New York.
No, no, no. It has the Statue of Liberty and Times Square and everything. The famous New York subway. The Brooklyn Bridge. The New York Lawn Bowls Club. They're all here.
Did you say Statue of Liberty in Times Square?
Hey, there's a New York police cop. This'll show you.
Howdy there, sirs. Welcome to little old New York.
There, you see, I told you. I told you I did.
I'm not convinced.
I've just finished my coffee.
Oh, Ford, what's wrong with you?
For a start, I don't think he's wearing an official New York Police Department uniform.
No, it's definitely a New York uniform, sir. Look, it says NYPD and everything.
And for another thing, you're far too docile.
Docile?
Yes. Look, I went to New York a few times while I was on Earth. Every time I had a run-in with a New York cop, they beat seven sons out of me without so much as a how do you do.
Oh, come on then.
I don't know what you mean, sir.
And I never once got called sir.
Come on, give him a quick beating. Show Ford Prefect here the real New York spirit.
All right then, sir. I mean, scumbag, freeze!
Are you armed?
I've got my NYPD issue truncheon and my NYPD handcuffs, and that's enough for scuzzballs like you.
I hear talking, but I don't hear thumping.
Right. Okay. Here we go.
That was barely a tap.
Okay, you dirty rat. You like to play the tough guy, do you?
Ah! That's more like it.
Hit him! Hit him!
Ow!
Oh, where's that notorious New York police brutality that you keep telling me about?
Look, I'm trying my best.
Pathetic.
Right then.
You couldn't beat an innocent civilian if you're...
Oh, that was fantastic. Thanks. I think that proves conclusively that... Hey, what are you doing? Ow! Ow!
Where did the bar go?
The bar hasn't gone anywhere.
Did I fall asleep? I sometimes do that when I've had a few drinks.
We are at the sharp edge of reality.
Reality? What the bloody hell are we doing here?
This plane you see about you, this etched glass landscape, it is the world between worlds. It is nature. It is discovery. It is the manifestation of the challenge that lies deep within us all.
You should not have brought us here.
So you're right. I think I need to sit down for a minute. I'm feeling ever so giddy.
It is the crest of the waveform, the words between the pages of the book. And now, human, you've thrown up in it.
Sorry. I'll clean up. Have you got, is there a mop or a cloth?
Where is Ford Prefect?
Ford Prefect? No. He won't clean anything up. Far too lazy.
Tell us where he is. Tell us where he is. Tell us where he is. Tell us is
tell us.
Dartek! Dartek? Are you awake?
Ford.
What's that? No, I can't understand a word you're saying. Well, looks like we're in a New York police cell. Though I still don't believe it.
Right, Rise and shine, prisoners of the NYPD. Up at last.
Yes, right up it seems. And in Dartek's case, right up on the ceiling.
You dirtbags! Now you've seen how New York treats its criminals.
This is nothing like a New York jail cell. I visited a few in my time.
Right, I've had enough of your bad gobbin. Yeah, you heard me. We don't stand for bad gobbin here in the New York NYPD. I'm taking you to see the Commissioner Chief of Police.
Who is this idiot?
And you better hope you impress him more than you impress me, or your grits will be in for a right grizzling.
What was that? Where are we now? What happened? Who was that? How did we get here?
Boo! Boo!
God has taken us to the zoo.
Ah, I don't mind trips to the zoo. I especially like the feature when all the animals are on one side of the glass and you get to stand on the other side. They don't seem to have that here.
Ways of God are beyond the comprehension of the likes of you and I. Looks like we're a few hours forward in time as well.
Boo! Boo!
Ah, that's not so good. Don't move. It's a quashen fog.
A what?
Shh! How do you spell that? What? Oh, Q-U-A apostrophe A.
Oh, that's right. Got it.
The quashen fog is a 7-foot-long, blubbery animal covered in yellow downy fur and with a distinctive upturned snout. It is widely considered to be the friendliest animal in the galaxy.
Doesn't sound so bad.
There's an escape passage up there. Edge round to it and give me a lift up. Quietly.
This, of course, means that it is one of the single greatest menaces a hitchhiker can face in their travels. For, once it has latched onto your scent, a quashen fog is absolutely impossible to get rid of. This has not stopped the proliferation of the creature in zoos and parks, as it is utterly adorable to look at and perfectly safe, provided it is kept behind glass.
I'll pull you up. Quickly, it's looking this way.
I don't see what we're so worried about. It seems harmless.
I'm so sorry, Arthur. It spotted you.
So, it can't follow us up through the gap? Or can it? It's not following us.
There, drop down there.
Right side of the glass. That's more like it. I don't see what the fuss is about.
Look through the glass.
Where's it gone?
It is believed that the quashen fog evolved as a parasitic being. It identifies a creature that can act as provider and latches onto it. It is not known at what stage of its evolution that the creature developed its short-range teleport ability, but it is this one development that makes it so utterly impossible to escape from.
Ah! Stop it licking me!
I'm so sorry, Arthur. You'll never be rid of it now.
Right, what the hell is going on here?
Oh, thank heavens you're here, Mayor!
Listen, Percy, you know we can't afford to slip up. We all agreed when this started, not one mistake. Not one! Heaven knows we had slip-ups in the old days back on Earth, but since the transition, the things we've done have actually made me proud to be Mayor. We've pulled together in ways I couldn't have imagined. Now please tell me you haven't blown it.
No, Mr. Sturminster!
Good. So what's the problem?
Well, it's this new arrival, you see!
Prisoner, for Prefect to see you, sir.
See for yourself.
Show him in.
Hello there.
So, he's a limey, huh?
This is the Commissioner Chief of Police, Commissioner Gordon, and the esteemed mayor of our city, which is New York, by the way, Mayor Butch Reagan.
Wow, Butch Reagan. This must be the real New York. I'm totally convinced now. The last foot soldiers of doubt have been routed from the battlefield of disbelief.
You know you are in contravention of the laws of this city. Do you realize the punishment for jaywalking?
Ha! I suppose it's execution.
That's right.
What? I was joking.
You heard him. You're heading for the 20,000 volt haircut, dirtbag. The Faraday Rodeo. The lightning bolt boogaloo.
All right, calm down. We're not executing him.
But, Mayor, we don't have a choice.
I want to make sure of that before we resort to murder, Percy.
That's a relief.
So, Ford Prefect, how much do you know?
I know you're all desperate for people to believe this is New York.
Indeed. Where do you think this is?
It's not America. London?
Have a look out of that window. Go on. We overlook Times Square here.
Smaller than I remember. More concrete. Less traffic.
Mr. Prefect. Welcome to Stevenage.
I think you've got some explaining to do.
Can Ford have really found the small English town, Stevenage? How has Dartek Benter-Baleen been duped into purchasing it? How will Arthur escape the affectionate attentions of the Quashan Farg? And will Zaphod Beeblebrox be the first sentient being to collect enough Ningis to own a Trigonic pew?
Hey!
Find out in the next affably imprudent installment of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Apocryphal Phase.
In that episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Apocryphal Phase, David Wilcox was the voice of the book, Alex Finch was Arthur Dent, Tim Horton was Ford Prefect, Stephen Alexander was Protester 1, a Brick and the Commissioner, Simon Hart, Protester 2, and the Policeman, Gareth Johnson, Dartek, John Masters, The Door, Romy Pierce, The Window, Edward Pierce, The Carpet, Jason Thompson, Hogo Jostovic, Emma Thompson was The Bird, Paul Monk, The Barman, Cy Hunt, Jandreth, Annabelle Harvey, The Quashan Farg, David Tudor was The Mayor, and Brendan Jones was Zaphod Beeblebrox. Retrophonic music was by Andrew Clancy, and the programme was written and produced by Stephen Alexander. Coming up next, we travel to Gouda Prime for the long-awaited return of Blake 7.